be defeated. How many can lift your hand to the Lord and make that confession this morning? Sister Becky, raise that hand. She is. Amen. Brother Ram said, when you raise your hand, it shows that there was a decision down in your heart that defied gravity.
That's right.
Make that testimony. So you all just did that. Yeah. It's forever on record.
Yes.
You just did that. Amen. The Lord saw it. Satan saw it. He can't do nothing about it. Amen. And so just from this point forward, we're just going to take all of our enemies, right? And just keep believing. Amen. It's just, what a song service. We'll let the musicians go to their seats. Amen. What a song service. I had ever praise to our God.
Yeah.
Several weeks ago, I was singing that for about a week, and then they sung it up there when we was up there. And I'll tell you what, that song's just been burning me up ever since. And so when Brother Tim put that up there, I'm like, that's my, you know, I just love that song. I don't know, that I always have, and heard it years ago or a long time ago, and then I hadn't heard it for a long time. But I just, that beat and those phrases, what it said, just really sticks with me. So I just really appreciated that. And all of the songs just take your breath away sometimes.
Amen.
You know, just really appreciate that. And so glad Mercy said no. Amen. I mentioned that last night at Bible study, you know, that we're not going to let you go. And Brother Tim sing that song, so I thought it was nice that he sung it this morning. I didn't tell him to, but it was good. So really appreciate that. How many knows that the scripture says that in the Lord Jesus, everything is yea and amen?
Yep.
Amen.
If you got to believe that, amen, that's the ground that he's taken for you. So let's go ahead and open our Bible Psalm to Psalms chapter 19. Today I want to title this, Preeminence in the Bride, in His Bride. Christ's Preeminence in His Bride. Amen. How many knows we're in ourselves, we're not in. Really, but in Him, we're everything.
Yeah.
Amen. And how many of those are somebody in this room besides us?
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I don't put this little assembly as its success or anything like that in any of us. But I put it in Him.
Right.
Amen. And but it just so happens that He works through all of us. Amen. And that's the way it happens. And I am so thankful. Psalms chapter 19, verse 1 through 3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Amen. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 19. Read through the scriptures and pray that you can be seated. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen. His dear Son, who, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him are all things created in me, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Amen?
That's right.
By him and for him, for his purpose. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. If I had a scripture that I would call my favorite, this would be one of them, this whole passage right there. And then I want to finish with Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. Revelation 5, verse 1 through 7. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose seals thereof. No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him who sitteth on the throne. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, sometimes, Lord, when we come into your presence, it's just almost impossible for the human flesh to be able to stand in your presence. How thankful we are, Lord, that you're so mindful of this little group, for each one of us, Lord, that you walked up Calvary for us, and Lord, in this last day, you've come down, and when the scripture says, what's man that you're mindful of, or the son of man that you'd be visiting, what are we, Lord, that you would come to this little place? But Lord, we don't question you. We just accept what you have asked of us. We pray, Lord, this morning as we go into the scriptures that you will allow us, Lord, just to share the thought that you would want, the thought I believe that you put in my heart. Lord, that each one would be able to receive it and each one be able to grow by it. And Lord, as we know that if we can just come into your presence and accept you for what you are, then all the chains fall off. Lord, it's you. You're the one. And so we give praise and honor to you now. Every praise to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray for me. Amen. Preeminence in his bride. You love him?
Amen.
So, we're all, as message believers, we're all familiar with the sermon Brother Brandon preached, that Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And in that message, we are familiar with, he said that God had a threefold purpose. And that threefold purpose, the first fold of that was that he could reveal himself in Christ Jesus. And we know he did that. Amen. And so he said the second fold of that purpose was to be able to get preeminence in his bride. And then the third fold of that would be to restore the Eden condition. And of course, you know, in Eden, that was the first Adam and his bride in a condition of just a wonderful place. And so he promised in the third portion of there that he would restore the Eden condition. In other words, he would take his bride and he would take her back to Eden again. And so Brother Ben's, you know, spent quite a lengthy sermon there explaining and talking about those things, how that everything that God was, he poured into Christ, and that everything Christ is, he poured into the church. I mean, believe that. Everything that God was is now in his church.
Yes.
And so, but this second fold of the purpose, he said that would be for Christ to get preeminence in his bride. And of course, now the way I think of this is that once he gets that preeminence in his bride, we know God had the preeminence in him. So once he gets the preeminence in his bride, then there's the husband and wife, and there's nothing that hinders him. So naturally, he can restore Eden condition, right? So it's that second portion there must happen, must be. Before we ever return back to Eden, that preeminence of Christ in his bride has to happen, has to take place. We know that. And so, but this morning I just kind of want to, in saying that, I want to say, what would that look like? If Christ has preeminence in his bride, what would that look like? What kind of bride, what kind of church would that be? You know, and we might all say, well, then everyone in that bride church would be raising the dead and casting out devils, and that might be so. There'd be plenty of that probably. We don't doubt that, but I say it goes much further than that. It goes much deeper than that. There's much more to it than that. And so for him to have preeminence in his bride is a very broad scope of things that would include there. And so I would say, would it include halfway Christians? Would it include people who want to look to man's teachings and man's doctrines more than God's word? Would that be what you would find in there? And so, would it be a church that's worldly minded? That's what... See, he has to have preeminence in his bride. What would that be? Right? And I think we could all say, well, it's obviously not people sitting around, you know, telling dirty jokes and things like that. But what would it be? What's the full extent of what this Christ having preeminence in his bride, what is the scope of that? How far does that reach? Right? And so I just kind of want to talk about that this morning. You pray that the Lord will be able to say through me what he would like to. And so, so how much, as we as Christians, how much should we give back to him? Right? How much do we owe him for what he's done? That's a big question. So should we as the bride of Christ, should we ever live something that is opposite of him? Should we ever live something that doesn't speak of him? Should we live something that speaks a perversion of him? Right? So what does this preeminence mean for him to have full preeminence in her? Then what would that cause her to be? What would she be living? What would she be thinking? What would she be wearing? What would she be saying? Where would she be going? What would she be doing that would not be speaking contrary to him, that would not be speaking a perversion of him? What would it be? Amen. She would never be telling, I don't believe she'd ever be living something that would be telling a different story than his story. Right? A different message than what his message is. She wouldn't be doing that. Amen. You know, if there had never been a fall, well, then we wouldn't need a Savior, would we? But we know there was a fall. And because there was a fall, there needed to be a Savior. And because there needed to be a Savior, there needed to be a call go out, as we read. There needed to be a call go out. Who's worthy? Who's able to do this? And the scriptures we read there, we're very familiar with this, that when that happened, when that angel, that strong angel with a strong voice, when he made that statement, he cried out, who's worthy? You have to understand that if the scripture said that no man was found worthy in heaven, when that angel spoke that question that he spoke had to go into heaven, and people in heaven had to hear that in order for them to answer back and say, there's nobody here that can do it. They heard it. And that when that message went out in earth, and nobody in earth answered, they had to hear it. So you understand, it's not just a natural thing. I'm talking about in the spirit realm, when God was doing this, when this angel spoke this, it went into all those realms. Those that are in heaven, those that are in earth, and perhaps even those gone on into the regions of the lost, wherever. It all went out there, because you have to understand there's only one. They're only one, and God would let it all play out in such a way that every one of us would have to testify. It's not me.
Right.
It's not you.
Right?
It's not a new president. It's not this. It's not that. It's only one.
Right.
And it had to play out that every one of us. That's why the scripture said every knee bow and every tongue confess. Absolutely. There won't be any question, because it's only one.
Right.
So there had to be a call go out for that one. Of course, we read there no man was found worthy. No man, the ways of man, the mindset of man, because we know Jesus was a man. But as a man, you know, he was identified as a lion of the tribe of Judah, but before he could be that conquering lion, he was the lamb. John turned and he saw the lamb. And so God wants us to understand not the force of a man that can do it, but it was the ways and the force of God's program, how that he would come down and through a lamb, through dying, sacrifice, has how he won the battle. That's how he was the lion of the tribe of Judah. What a trick to play on the devil. him to come down and you know, Satan looking for some great mighty one, and here was this meek, humble, lowly one, and he was the lion of the tribe of Judah and conquered. So there had to be a call for one, and so there was a call, went out, and here come the Lamb, Lion of Tribe Judah, Lamb. And since he did come forth, and since he did walk up Calvary, and he paid the price for every one of your sins and mistakes, sin, transgression, trespasses, uncleanness, every bit of it, he paid for every bit of you and anybody else. Since he did do that, and none of us could do it, since he did do that, then don't we owe him everything?
Amen.
Right? We owe him everything. Amen. Because he did do it. So he alone deserves honor, glory, and recognition as such. We should never sing a song to some person or some other thing other than him. How can I breathe without you? How can I live without you? That doesn't belong to a man. It belongs to him. But you see, people doing it left and right. They live and they sing and they act and they talk constantly something contrary to him, but not in the bride, in the preeminence of the bride. What's it going to be like? Is she going to be going around singing songs that doesn't glorify him? Is she going to be acting things that doesn't tell his story? You see what I mean? For him to have preeminence in her, she's a different people, a different class of people. One who obviously been redeemed, but has broken away by his grace from the worldly way of things to where she becomes that expression of the preeminence of Christ in her. There's a couple of quotes I want to read real quick. This is in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, Brother Brandon. That's the name of the sermon, Hebrews chapter 2, number 2. Brother Brim says, now friends, let's hear him. The Holy Spirit speaking in the midst, showing diverse miracles, signs, and wonders. Let us not pass over it just as a common happening. That's why I keep saying, don't let what God has done in this day, don't let it become a common thing, because it's not common. If you look at the history of the world as a whole, when God sent a prophet, it was a major thing happening. It's not a common thing. And so he's telling us, don't look at these things that you've seen happen here. It's not just common happenings. Let's remember that it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Confirming his word, we must do it. Oh, please do it. Take heed. Let every other thing be secondarily. Even your home, your husband, your wife, your children, whatever it may be, put it second. Place God first. You say, Brother Branham, over my children, over everything, place God first. Let him be first. He starts talking about the woman where Elijah came there and said, make me first. Right? And so he tells that story. She put God before herself and her own child. Right? God must have first place in your heart, first place in your life, first place in everything that you do. And what you are, God must be first. He doesn't want second place. He doesn't deserve second place. He deserves the best, the first of all that we got. He deserves it. Blessed be his holy name.
Amen.
He deserves the best that we can give him.
Amen.
Right? Because as I said, none of us could do it. And since he did do that, he did purchase our redemption, then he alone should have first place. And then in anything that is second place, third place, fourth, fifth, whatever, none of that should try to negate first place
right. And
what he is. And I just happen to believe that the bride of Christ in the end time, when Christ has preeminence in her, I just happen to believe that she'll really be a people who's not all messed up and compromised. He will have first place in her in all things. Amen. Because the scripture said, you know, we read it, all things were made by him and for him. You know, by the grace of God, I was able to build my house years ago. Every portion of that house is for me and my family. Every portion, every board, every nail, every screw is for because it's for the one that built it. Right? It's all things are made by him and for him. So whatever you're doing, how's that for him? You should ask yourself, I'm doing a certain thing. Is this for him? Is this glorify him? Is this his telling his story? And if it's not, maybe you should change some things. And so he should have first place because he did that. And so let's give him whatever he asked for. Whatever he asked, I believe the bride wants to give that to him. Right? She doesn't want to hold back. And I know in the message, you know, you can be raised in the mess and not know the Lord.
Right?
You can be raised in the message and maybe quote Brother Brown and not know your Bible. It's wrong. You know that Bible, and if you know that Bible, you'll know that prophet was saying what's right. But you can know what that prophet is saying, and you don't know whether it's right or not if you don't know your Bible.
Right.
That's right. You know this first.
Right.
That's one thing I remember saying. And this back here, back in Pentecost, when Brother Perryman invited me, and I knew those people read their Bibles. And that's what I remember telling them. I said, I thank God that I can preach this stuff to you because I know you know the Bible, and you know what I'm saying is in there.
Right.
And I'll say that to you. But not just the Bible, but the quotes and the things to know what this Bible says and then the light that has shined on it to make it a new book to know whether I'm saying that. Brother Daniel, too. Because you're responsible to know this.
Right.
You're responsible to take what God has given in this hour and use that as a tool to give yourself and your family a body change.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a responsibility that we have. God gives that to us, gives that responsibility to us. And so, let's give him whatever he asked, because he earned it.
Amen.
He absolutely deserves anything that we can give him.
Amen.
Amen. You may say, well, Brother Tony, that sounds kind of selfish, you know? I mean, just give him whatever he asks. Listen, he's already proved that what he's about is saving you.
Right.
He's already proved that everything he came to do was to save those who were lost. So if he asks you for something, then you know it's for your good. Right? Whatever he asks for is for your good and for the good of your family and those around you. It's all for the good for the gospel. So we know that. And so we should worship him in all things. Brother Brown was talking. We've talked about this in different ways, and you've heard it in times past. Nothing new. Seldom is there a sermon that you hear that's not something you haven't heard, but when you put it all together in a certain anointing, a certain way it's coming, like it speaks things that maybe you've not seen before, or maybe it opens your heart to realize some place in your life that you've not surrendered yet. And so, but you worship God the way you drive. You worship God the way you work. You worship God when you're in private. Right? You don't just worship God when you come here. You worship him with your tithes and offerings. You worship him how you meet people, how you talk to people. Because God's in his people. And the way you treat people is the way you treat God. Even this comes to mind right now, the Old Testament, when somebody would have to go use a bathroom and they would go out, and the scripture said you go out there, you got a weapon and it has a paddle, I guess like a shovel on it. It said, when you go use a bathroom, cover it up. Because the Lord your God walks around among you. And I'm like, the Lord's going to be come along and step in something? God and his people might. You see what I'm saying? God is concerned how you treat people.
That's right.
That's why the scripture said, if you know somebody's got something against you and you want to come to God, you want to come to church and get blessed, and you know that you've got something you've aggravated someone, and you know that they're aggravated, you've not went and made that right. And the scripture, Jesus says, listen, don't even think about coming to get a blessing from God if you know you got something back there that you should take care of.
Right.
You go take care of that and then come to God and get a blessing.
Right.
Is that the gospel? But how many of us have always made sure to cover that? Many of us probably have come to church many times, wanted a blessing, knowing there was something we should have taken care of and didn't.
Right.
So you can't circumvent God's program. Right? Get in line with his program and the blessings will fall.
Right?
Right? That's what we have to do. That's the hour we live in because, like I said, last night we live in Satan's Eden. It's Brother Brim titled it that, and it's so powerful to say that phrase because it helped us to understand that this is what Satan has wanted for all these years. He's not a creator. He couldn't just make things the way. He had to wait till it evolved. And now, but here it is. Everything's just the way he wants it. It's his perfect realm for his deception. And in the midst of all that, God wants us to overcome him. And God gives us what we need to overcome in those things. So we want to worship him in everything. Everything we do. Whether there's anybody watching or not. You grieve the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ain't nobody around. And you're grieving the Holy Spirit in you. And you know. You know it because you're packing this vessel and you know what's anointed there and what's not in there. Right? It's all about you first. Right? To get that right. You gotta make sure that you're walking with the Lord there and then you can live it right. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. And so, all things were made by him and for him and for his purpose. So every word, every pattern, every law, everything in the scriptures, the do's and the don'ts, and all those things are there to declare him. All right? Every word, every pattern. And so everything that we can do to glorify him is what we need to do. That's what he deserves. And when we do this, when we give him preeminence, then it opens the doorway for him to come into our life and do things in our life like he would like to. He's a gentleman. We have to accept him. We have to allow him to do things in our life. Amen? We have to allow him because he's a gentleman. He's not going to force it. But when you do, when you get in sync with all these things, you'll find him working in your life when you don't even realize he's doing it. You'll see him do things in not even realize he's done it until after it's over with a lot of times. We know that God has had several Bibles, we'll say it that way, that God wrote his word, his Bible in the heavens and stars. We read there in Psalms 19 that the heavens declare him. And every language, every person, every people out there sees it. Of course, you can come along and get beat down with a bunch of philosophy and a bunch of man-made teaching and science and all that and cause you to forget that. But according to the Bible, every nation, every language of people out there can look up and see there's a God because it's been told in the heavens above.
Amen.
So there's a Bible in the stars, and then Brother Ram said the Bible's written in the pyramid.
Right?
Right? And then, of course, he's written in the Word, the Bible, the book, his Word there. But his word's also written in his people.
Right?
That's why Brother Rams would preach that sermon, let us see God. God in his universe. God in his word. God in his people.
Right?
Because God is in all of them. And God is the word. Mm-hmm. And the word don't change.
Right.
Now Satan tries to change the word.
Right.
He can confuse it and pile it up with a bunch of other things, mix and mingle it. But God's got an original spoken word, original seed that produces the original life. He's still got that. No matter how much you pervert, he's still got his real word. He's still there. And if you'll get to the real word, you'll get the original creation again. So it tells me that if we ever come back to Eden again, it'll be because we come back to the original seed that can produce Eden again. And without it, you'll not have Eden again. It's by his word that he brings these things to pass. And so, we know that he has these different Bibles, and you know, Satan is not a creator. He's a perverter. So he wants to come along and pervert God's word. Whatever form it's in, he tries to pervert it. And so, you know, heavens, the stars, and all that, guess what? He's not perverted those. Because he can't. They're just hanging out there, and week after week, year after year, they tell God's story. But Satan can't change it. He hadn't changed that Bible. Right? The earth has been tilted, and perhaps from some atomic energy or something they had way back then or whatever caused it. So by the fall of man and by science and all that, he's managed to even pervert the earth, right? And so because of that, now we have all these, a lot more storms and stuff that probably didn't have back before that, right? Think about it. Tornadoes and all that. So Satan has can't pervert the Bible up there, but he comes down here to the earth and he wants to pervert everything he can get his hands on to pervert the Word of God. Tried to pervert the pyramid, had all those people run in there and steal a bunch of the casing stones off of it, but yet it still stands there as a testimony, according to scriptures, as a testimony there. And we've been through it in the past, you know how that it tells the ages. It tells about the church ages are in represented in there, and the king chamber is represented in there. And so it's a Bible. It tells the program of God. And though Satan tried to, if he would have had his way, he would have tore the whole thing completely down, so there'd be no testimony there, but it's still there. Just been tried to pervert it. There's God above us and God in the pyramid, God. And we know that he's perverted this. You'll hear people read, and you know, they'll be reading out of their Bible. And I can, most of the time, my wife will tell you, she's probably noticed it, I'm like, he's not reading King James.
Right.
Not to say that King James, you know, God can do whatever he wants, but his King James is what God has done so many miracles and mighty things in our day off of this. We know he perverts it. There's all kinds of translation. They leave things out. They change things. And I heard it just recently. And I was reading along while somebody else was reading, and there was complete sentences that were left out of the version this person was reading. I was like, yeah. So Satan wants to pervert this, you know, pervert the word. But God's still got a word that's right. Right? And so then, obviously, then God and his people. So now he wants to come, and you got all these people call themselves Christians, but they're telling a different story with their life. So he doesn't have preeminence in them. Right? Because they're living a different life, a different story than what's recorded in his word, what's recorded in the heavens above. You understand what I'm saying? There's a continuity of God's word. And they call themselves, say whatever they want, but their life is telling a different story. Okay. And so Satan has come along and tried to pervert those things. But in all that, God still has his word that doesn't change. And a people that's ordained of God that will not compromise. A people who they're going to, maybe early on in their ages, their stages or whatever, but they're coming to a place where they properly represent him, where he has the preeminence in them. And so we know that he's got a people that will not compromise, and that'll be a people that will show his glory in every aspect of their life. So if it's not perverted, if it's not a perverted form of the Word of God, then it will continue to speak his glory.
Right.
It will continue to tell his story, not be perverted. And so we have to sometimes ask ourselves, why are things written in the Bible the way it is? There's things in the Bible that if you don't get into the spirit, as Brother Daniel was talking about last night, you got to get into the spirit. If you don't get into the spirit of this Bible, the spirit of the Holy Spirit, then you can look at a scripture and you will absolutely reject that because it just doesn't make sense to you. But if you get into the spirit of it, it makes sense. We, you know, some of them play the chicken foot, dominoes, chicken foot, or a train. whatever train they want to call it, whatever. If you're trying to play chicken foot with the mindset and the rules of one of the other versions, it ain't gonna work. You have to get into sync and into the mindset of whatever the game is that you're trying to play, you know. And so it's the same way. You have to get in. And so there's things in the scriptures that people look aside. It just doesn't make sense. I remember early as a Christian, I had seen where and I was talking to this woman. She was Jehovah's Witness, and she had had some rough times. But I was talking to her, and I don't know. Remember how we got on the conversation? What led to? But I remember I said, "Well, but the scripture said that God said to Pharaoh, for this very purpose have I raised you up, that I can show my glory in you." She absolutely melt down. There's no way. She wasn't thinking with the spirit of the Bible. She wasn't in the right sync with the right movement of God.
Yeah.
Right? So you gotta look at yourself, check yourself. I speak this to you. When there's a belief that we know is truth from the Bible that comes from the scripture, and you reject that because it just doesn't make sense to you, be careful.
Right.
Get into the Holy Spirit. Be prayerful. Don't lightly pass over anything in the scriptures. Don't lightly pass over anything in the message, okay? And let me say this. Not what message people say and do, because they can say and do anything, but I mean the Word. What ties back to God's movement of this hour coming from His Word. Don't lightly pass over that, because it's a serious thing. And so, there's things in the Bible people just totally disagree. But you realize the Bible and all His things speak of Christ. They speak of His character. They speak of what He's done. They speak of who He is and the glory that He is. And when those scriptures tell us there's a certain way we should live and certain things we should do and things we should not do, what Christ the Word is asking us, I said a while ago, let's give him what he asked. He's asking us that we submit ourselves to these truths, to the life that comes from the Holy Spirit, from His Word, so that what we live out is a proper testimony of Him. So that will draw others. But if you live it wrong and you act it wrong, instead of drawing others, you may cause others to blaspheme. He's just simply asking, if you love me, I paid the price for you. I'm asking you to live these things, this righteous, holy life. And your homes are to be set up a certain way, your church a certain way, and you conduct life a certain way. And by doing that, you'll make others want what you've got. And it'll draw them to me. I love them too, and I want them. I died for them too. But if you live it wrong, you might cause those people who I died for and who I love, you might cause them to blaspheme. You understand? Cause them to speak evil against the Word.
Right.
Okay, and so he's asking us, and this is kind of a corner turning a corner here, but he's asking us, he's saying, don't break the types and shadows. The scriptures, the types and shadows, natural typing, spiritual, Old Testament typing, New Testament. You know, he's basically, in all this saying, don't break the types, don't break the shadows, don't mess up the program. I'm asking you to live according to my word, and that will fulfill the types, that will fulfill the shadows, and the right story will be told, and the right drawing power will be expressed. Follow me? So that's why he says these things. And so, he's asking us not to break the types. Moses did. Whenever he brought the children of Israel out and they needed water, and God said, take the rod, go over and smite the rock, and he smote the rock, and water came out, and it was water for 2 million people and all their animals. It wasn't a trickle. It was probably bigger around than that water line that comes across my property, which is 36 inches in diameter. And there's a 27 there also. It's probably bigger than both of them to get that much water. But then a little bit later, they got thirsty again in a different spot. And Moses, you know, he was a hothead. He still had that. He got aggravated to the people. Right? It'll cost you. You still pack some of that old nature. It'll cost you eventually. It did him. So he got into a fix again. And God said, now go over to that rock and speak to it. And Moses went over there, and instead of speaking to the rock, he picks up and he smites it and must we fetch water. It ain't got nothing to do with we. Right? Saints, your victory has nothing to do with you. Just do what God says. He'll take care of it. It's him. And because of that, Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land. Right? Now, the type there is that Christ was smitten for us. One time. That's all it takes. He died on Calvary once. His blood is good enough to cleanse every sin that ever was and ever will be. But Moses come along and said, oh, he's going to have to be smitten again. That broke the type. And God said, you failed to glorify me. You left something that didn't tell my story. Do you understand? You left something that told a different story than what I'm trying to tell. And because of that, you can't enter in. Live the story. Live the types, the shadows, the customs, the laws, the living. Live it right. Because if you don't, you're going to break the types and the shadows and so forth. And now the wrong message gets out. Because you don't live it right. That's what Moses did, and it cost him. You look at things like marriage and divorce. And this is one I've heard, many years of talking to people, I've heard this. And it looks like someone can say, well, that's not fair. It's not fair for the woman, the man. It's not fair. It looks like it's one-sided, it's lopsided. Don't get derailed on me. That's the question in Bible study last night, how to stay focused in service. Don't stay with me, okay? So, in the beginning, just one man, one woman. Brother Ben said in the beginning, it was one of anything, right? But one man, one woman, right? Husband and wife. No need for divorce, no need for separation, no need for a bunch of wives, a bunch of husbands. Just one man, one woman. But because of the fall, then because there was a fall, then it called for another covenant. Another, where she prior was equal with man. Right? But because of the fall, now another covenant had to be made, another where now he's her ruler. And because of the fall, polygamy was allowed for the man to have more than one wife. But the woman could not have more than one man, one husband. Right? And you go, that's not fair to the natural mind. That doesn't. But then we find out that after Christ comes, and remember, he died, and he died to so we could go back to Eden. So after, in Old Testament, polygamy was allowed. But now after Christ died, who could restore us back, now it's not allowed. Right? It's not allowed in Scripture. That's why people today have more than one. It's not allowed. And remember, this is a very touchy subject that Moses had to deal with, Paul had to deal with it, Brother Raymond had to deal with it. It's still a mate because it has to do with the original sin, the fall. Has to do with that. And so, once coming to Christ, then, we realize that it's not allowed. Why was David allowed to have, and Solomon allowed to have, and so many of them could have so many wives, 500 wives, 1,000 wives, but none of those women could have another husband? And the reason why is don't break the one Christ is bride many. If there had not been a fall, we wouldn't be in that situation. But because there was a fall, then we needed a Savior, and that Savior needed to save all of them. So that's why it becomes one man and many wives. Right? And even when you get to the New Testament scriptures, you know, you have to look at this to see that it's there. It gives a man a right. If his wife has been dishonest with him, you know what the scripture said about fornication? Then he can put her away and go marry another. But it does not tell her that she can put him away and go marry another. The only way she can be married again in the eyes of God legally is if her husband dead. But it gives man avenue that he can go remarry even if he's got a wife that's living if she was unfaithful. Right? Everybody wants to say, well, it's the same. Well, no, it's not the same. But why? Because of the type. Can Christ put away his church for living false? Yes. Can he go marry another? Yes. That's why the man can. Don't break the type. Can we as the church, can we put him away and go marry another? You can put him away if you want to. You can say, I don't want nothing to do with Christ anymore. Right? And if you go marry another, you're going to marry a devil. Because there's only one Savior. There's only one Savior. And so if you put him away, the scripture says, for her, she can put her husband away, but remain married or be reconciled back to him. Right? Because of the type. The church can put him away, and that's why Paul said, if somebody preaches another word, another gospel, it's another Jesus. So if you put him away and you go find somebody else that you want to call the word that you're going to live by, some other teaching, some other doctrine, it ain't Christ. Right? And you're living in adultery. Right? And it looks so unfair to the woman. But Christians say, you know what? It's all about him. He's our Savior, and if he asks us to live this way so it tells his story, then we'll happily accept it and say, you know what? If you're a woman, I know this is maybe hard for sisters or whatever, hopefully not because you're married, you're happily married and so forth, but you understand, as a woman, you can say, you know what? If that's what he asks, if he asks that I remain married, I'll do it because it's his gospel being taught and preached. His life I'm expressing. But if you take it from a mindset of man, you just look at that and say, it's a bunch of nonsense. It's just man's book or whatever. No, there's a message being taught here. It's all about him expressing his program. And so it looks unfair, but it's not. It's Christ. You know, the Bible, the woman, the female, was always to be under headship. Woman was to be under her husband, her dad's house. And then once she was married, then she would come underneath her husband. And then if her husband died or, you know, or whatever, I don't remember the details exactly, but she could go back and be underneath her dad. Right? But now if she had under her dad, then she marries, now she's under her husband, and her husband dies, now she can go back to her dad, but if her dad's dead, then where's she going to go? So now she's a widow. And in the Bible, New Testament lets you know that church was responsible to help take care of the widows. Because the scripture said, pure religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions and keep yourself unspotted from the world. Because the fatherless, they don't have somebody to take care of them. And the widows don't have somebody to take care of them, right? And so you realize that the female was to always be under leadership. Why? Because the church. We're sheep. We've got to have a shepherd. Something is going to be sowing seed in this field if the farmer's not watching over to make sure it's the right seed that's in there. Natural, it just weeds come. You got to be involved. There has to be somebody there to protect. And so the female, because of the fall, the female, she has to have some leadership over her. I know that people out here in this day, in this modern day, women being CEOs and all that stuff, I'm not preaching to them. I'm talking to what I believe to be the bride of Christ. Right? Right? The female is to always to be under leadership of a man. Why? Because the church must have Christ. And so because of the type, then as a sister, and I could, you could say, well, Brother Tony, it's easy for you to say this as a man, you're not a woman, but as a sister, if I had this revelation, I'd say, you know what? I'll be subject to the man, my husband. My own husband. Paul said over and over, you ever notice that? Well, be subjected to your own husband, not somebody else's. I'm glad Paul put that in there. Right? But you see what I'm saying? The time, don't break the time. Don't break the shadow. Don't break the layout. Are you going to tell a different story than God's program? That's what he's telling us here. Amen. Of course, talking about widows, the bride of Christ will never be a widow. She'll never be a widow because he never dies. Right?
Right.
Aren't you glad?
Amen.
But let me throw you a curveball. What if the word becomes dead to her and she don't hear it no more? It wouldn't be the bride. Bride stays with him. You understand? So there's churches who may have had an experience with him. But when the word becomes dead, then her husband is dead. Now what's going to lead her? What's going to lead you if you're not looking at this? Because something's going to do it. You may say, oh, no, I can take it. No, you can't take care of yourself. You have to be careful. A woman has a responsibility to make sure she receives the right one, the seed of the right one. Amen. And then there's another curveball. The king, I mentioned this last night, the king has concubines. Right? And a concubine, if he never puts the crown on her head, she's not queen. She's not bride. She's just concubine. She may have had experience with the Lord, with the king, but at some point, if the king never calls her anymore, then now the word is, that word is dead to her. It's not speaking to her anymore. There's no more relationship she has with him. You understand? Natural ties, spiritual. We need to check up. Is the word speaking to you still? Does it still plow in your heart? If it is, be glad. If you feel like it's not, get to God. Says, Lord, don't leave me too. Don't stop dealing with me. Right? Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Right? Renew in me a right spirit. That's what we should be saying. But these are all things laying there. It's truth. Right? It's truth. I know it's a minister plowing, but we have to be that bride that's he's got pregnancy. Amen. Break the types. I didn't give her these scriptures, but I'm going to read them. I'll tell you where they are. I'll read them. You can go back and listen again. I'll give it to you. You want to know where they are? If you know your Bible, you'll know they're there. And this is all speaking about things when things are done wrong, it sends the wrong message. And it causes people to have the wrong attitude toward God and his program. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, you remember where David took Bathsheba, another man's wife. And when it was all coming out and he was being rebuked by the prophet said to him in 2 Samuel 12, verse 14, he said, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The other nations were ungodly nations. And here's Israel, and y'all, we're the church. We're God's people. We ain't like all these Philistines and all that, right? All these enemies. We're the right. And here David goes and does something, and I think, I don't remember if it's actually said or just, but I illustrated it, but it's like the king of Israel. We don't even do stuff like that. See, the church, well, if you don't live it right, the world says, ha! We know better. We know they ain't got the goods. Right? And so the prophet said, David, because you've lived this way, you've made it more possible for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Now, who's at fault? Well, they're blasphemers anyway, okay? But you understand what he said there. You've caused this where they can do this. Romans chapter 2, verse 23-24. Thou that sayest, a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonoreth God. And the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Think about it. When the church is supposed to live right and they don't, it causes other people to speak evil. And the scripture said blaspheme. That's why last night when the brother asked what it means in Bible study to blaspheme, and I was thought, I'm going to be talking about that tomorrow. What does it mean? Of course, blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. We're talking about something different there. But 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Let me back up for just a moment here. You know, back in those days, they had slaves. They had servants. Right? And Paul is speaking to a servant who has a master over them. Right? Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. But wait a minute. Why? You're telling me that I need to honor this guy that's made me a slave, that's made me a servant to him, that I'm under his yoke? You're telling me to give honor to him? That's what the scripture's saying.
Amen.
Right? See, no matter where you find yourself and what condition you're in and whatever has happened, you're supposed to always conduct yourself honorably, even to your captors. Well, that's a hard one. But that's the Bible. Right? That's the Bible. So he says, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Because if you don't do this, then you're telling the wrong story and you're living the wrong life, and others can look at that and know that it's not right and speak evil against the way that you claim to live. Right? And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. So if you have a master that is a believer, then don't despise him. Don't say, well, you know, you're a believer, you shouldn't have me as a slave. No, don't despise him. Conduct yourself honorably, no matter what condition you're in. Let them not despise him because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithfully beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach. Now he's telling Timothy, these things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives and words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Are you ready? From such, withdraw yourself. The gospel got teeth in it. When are we going to start living it? Right? Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. But speak thou the things that become a sound doctrine, that aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith and charity and patience. That the aged women likewise, that they be of a behavior that becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Live it this way, because if you don't, The word's blasphemed. And who caused it? See what I mean? Don't break the types of shadows. Tell a story that's the whole story. That it's Christ. That no matter what people look in your life and see, they'll always see the truth. No matter what you're going through. Amen. See, we're to live in a way that doesn't break the types of shadows and patterns. And in living a way that always speaks of the glory of God and speaks that language to men, like the stars do. We're not to be perverted. We're to tell it like, you know, like I said. God has brought us a word in this day that can do that. So, you preach the word every day, and then, if you have to, you open your mouth. Right? Because people, it is a truth. We know it. They will look at your life and listen to that before they'll listen to what you're saying. So why does a man have to be the head of the house? Because Christ is head of the church. Why does the man need to give himself for his wife and his life for her? Because Christ did. See the types? It can go all the way. Why did the children need to be obedient to the parents? That same, you understand? It's all, and so this Bible is not to be taken lightly. These things are there because they're for your good.
Right.
Why do we dress right? So we don't provoke evil spirits upon us, right? Why does the church walk in holiness and we just don't let any old doctrine, any old man teach you go? Because it's Christ and Him only.
Amen.
We're for Him and Him only.
Amen.
That's what we are. Why do we not flirt with other doctrines? With other traditions of men and stuff like that? See? Because there's consequences to all of this. And on we can go. And so, it's either these things they're influencing other people or nothing else. You're bringing stuff in on yourself if you live it wrong. There's consequences. Amen. And so it all comes down to this. Does Christ have preeminence in us? That's what we're called to as the bride of Christ, is to come and grow in the word in this hour so that everything about us he is in preeminence with us. So does he have preeminence in you? And I will say this, that if he does, he will take you to Eden. Amen? No, there's no question about it. He will take you to Eden with him. But you have to let him have preeminence first. Amen. You love him.
Amen.
So, have I spoken his word today?
Amen.
Is there something here that's not in the Bible? His word. And by the grace of God, we can even talk about these things to the level that we do. Because of the mercy of the Lord to come in this day and tell us, here it is. And he just waiting for that little bride who's got preeminence in. So, as musicians, come let me ask, can you say, just bow your heads, but ask yourself, could you say, does Christ have preeminence in my life at this point? That's the whole question. Does he have preeminence? Amen. Just wait and let the musicians come. Does Christ have preeminence in me? And if not, this would be a good time just to work on that. Amen? Good time to work on that. See, it's by his word and our acceptance and how we interact with that word that we make great progress in our lives. Lord Jesus, oh God, as you come to us, Lord, and you speak to us out of your word, Lord, as I've said, your gospel has teeth in it. Lord, I know sometimes when you go to the doctor that you have to go through a little pain sometimes before you can get better. Maybe he has to do something that's a little hurtful before you can actually get that healing working. And so, Lord, sometimes these stern messages, Lord, to maybe peel the hide off of us. Lord, sometimes that's required in order for us. But I pray, Lord, as these things come and as you deal with us in your word, that we don't reject it, Lord. We don't despise it. That we let that plow dig deep. Let it break up those things. Not resist it, but let it break up that hard ground and these things, Lord, that has been a hindrance to us. I believe, Lord, that all of us, Lord, including myself, there's much higher grounds that we could have. Lord, and we're asking that you just move in our lives. Let this word become the thing that is the most preeminent in our lives. Lord, to be able to put away all these things that hinder and spend our time with you. Lord, that you would come in such a powerful way, not just the size of a button, but a full, filled being of your Holy Spirit, so that when we speak, the only thing that can come out is according to you. It's your life. Lord, I pray that you touch each one in this way. May they reciprocate you now. May they worship you, Lord, and just let your spirit, your anointing come in and just bathe them now in your presence, Lord. Let them commit to you, deal, struggle, and cry out with you right now over the things they've heard today. Lord, that it can get great gain in our lives. Grant it, Lord. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.